Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Going to continue a bit on the topic I began on Monday and expand it a bit, talking about really the elusiveness of truth, really in 2016 and particularly in the world of Donald Trump. It seems to me that there is an entire group of Americans that really don't care much about truth. Truth for them is flexible, elusive. It's whose side you're on. It's not an objective reality. And we find this with all the people who are excusing Donald Trump's, flip-flop would be too nice, frankly. Flip-flop would be a principal change of position. Donald Trump simply says things that aren't true and then says he didn't mean it. And people don't care. I can give 100 examples, but let's start with the most recent one. The one where he said that Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, was somehow linked to the Kennedy assassination. Crazy, right? Ridiculous stuff. The stuff of conspiracy theories. The stuff that maybe even Alex Jones wouldn't allow on the radio, and he allows some really, really crazy stuff. But conspiracy theories is exactly what Donald Trump is about. I mean, he's one of the few people who admitted to taking the birther movement seriously. The birther movement. The idea that Barack Obama was somehow not born in the place he was born. And not that it would matter, of course, because if he were born in Kenya, he'd have an American mother and he'd be at least as American as Ted Cruz. But Ted Cruz was born in Canada. John McCain was born in Panama. Barack Obama was born in the United States of America, in the state of Hawaii. I know I'm going over old ground here, but it's important because now the Republican nominee for president is someone who deals in vast untruth, not ways to color policy that make yourself look good, which virtually all politicians do, but crazy, out there, lunatic lies. And when asked about it, his supporters just say, oh, well, we knew he was lying. You did? You knew he was lying? Because he wasn't joking. You didn't say he was joking. You just knew he was lying. It does come to policy as well. Donald Trump is the first person running for president that I'm aware of in all of American history that said the United States should default on the national debt. He said that we should give a haircut to foreign creditors. Now, if you're a business, and like Donald Trump, you've borrowed a lot of money, you know that as a borrower, you know, if you borrow a little money for your house mortgage, then you're in trouble. The bank owns you. If you don't pay your mortgage, you could lose your house. But if you borrow a ton of money, the way really rich people like Donald Trump do, well, then the bank worries about you. And oftentimes, big debtors, unlike small debtors, get a haircut. They say, yeah, bank, I'll pay you back. I'll give you 80%. I'll give you 60% of what I owe you. Countries don't normally do this. Now, smaller countries have, on occasion, countries like Greece, for example. But the United States of America is not only the strongest economy in the world, is not only prohibited by the Constitution to even challenge the validity of our public debt. That's in the 14th Amendment. It's not one part of the 14th Amendment that's read often, but it is there, Section 4, somewhat obscure, I guess. But the United States is the world currency. The dollar is the world currency. In fact, there are more $100 bills outside the United States than inside the United States because it is the reserve currency. When you don't trust your rubles, your Russian rubles or your Brazilian reals, you have the dollar right there. If for some reason the dollar were no longer sacrosanct, if the U.S. Treasury bills were not considered perfectly safe, this would not only ruin the American economy for centuries to come, it would lead the world into, I suspect, the largest depression we've seen since the 1930s. Probably worse. And yet Donald Trump just sort of flips, I'm going to do a haircut. I'm going to treat America just like I treat the Trump Towers that went bankrupt in Atlantic City. No biggie. So when asked about this, again, his supporters say, well, he's just lying. All politicians do it. Do they? Do they lie to that extent? Not do they shade something or exaggerate something. Do they just make up in whole cloth things that would destroy the world's economy? And maybe one of the things that bothers me the worst, and the one I want to get your comment on, though you're welcome to comment on any of this, is when Donald Trump blames Hillary Clinton for President Bill Clinton's marital indiscretions. He's now taken to calling her the enabler. The enabler. It's somehow her fault that she accepted Bill Clinton after he cheated on her. And somehow Donald Trump's entire Playboy past, where he cheated on his wives many, many, many times and spent time on the radio rating women's tops and bottoms and bragged that he could have had Princess Diana, which he said on Howard Stern's radio show, and he would bang Mariah Carey, Stern's words, but Trump said, yeah, I'd do it without hesitation. All this locker room talk that, yeah, men usually do in private when they do it, somehow doesn't matter. Some people say this isn't sexist to blame Hillary for Bill's indiscretion, so I ask you, in a thought experiment that's so difficult to do that I think it illustrates my point really well, to imagine if the shoe were on the other foot. Try, this is hard now, try to imagine that Hillary Clinton had a series of male lovers while married to President Bill Clinton and was rating men's tops and bottoms crudely on radio and was having beef steak, whatever you call them, beauty pageants, where she would rate the men and talk in detail about their private parts, and she would talk in detail about her own private parts. I know it's hard to imagine. It's hard to even think about. It's hard to even say. And she had been through several husbands, and each of them were models that... and then she cheated on them with other models. Just try to imagine this. It's hard, isn't it? And now imagine that Donald Trump had never cheated on his one wife, but whose wife had cheated on him, and yet he'd forgiven her and stayed married to her. And now imagine, again, it's such a difficult thought experiment, it's really hard to get your head around. Now imagine that Hillary Clinton, with this history of all these men in her life and all these cheating and all this crude behavior toward men, were to blame Donald Trump for staying with his wife who cheated on him. Hard to wrap your mind around it, isn't it? Hard to even conceive of it. Hard to even think about it. Hard to even articulate it, I have to admit. Yet that's what's going on here, folks. And the reason why it's so hard for you to do it is partly the character of Hillary Clinton versus the character of Donald Trump. But largely, I would argue it's pure and simple sexism. Pure and simple misogyny. To blame the woman for the man's indiscretions, even though the guy she's running against is as crude in this regard as you can be, it's beyond the pale. Look, I was one that said that I didn't think Bill Clinton's indiscretions mattered. I didn't think that's how he should be judged. I thought he should be judged by what a good president he is. So Hillary Clinton's role in this is even less than his. I don't think those things matter, but if you think they matter, oh my God, look at Donald Trump. Does truth matter? Does consistency matter? Does logic matter to Republicans? And why the heck do they hate Hillary so much? Well, we can't trust her. But you can trust Donald Trump? I mean, who can you trust? Ted Cruz? Who can you trust? Where does this hatred of Hillary Clinton come from? Now, I know Sanders supporters, I know what you're going to say from her left. I get that. But she's going to win the nomination, notwithstanding what happened in West Virginia last night. And your choice is going to be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or not voting. And for all of Hillary Clinton's imperfections, most of which I'll admit to you, how can they possibly compare? You know, Donald Trump has never held public office before. He's never served in the military before. And thus, he would be the first president of the United States ever in all of American history, to not be a general, a governor, a vice president, a member of Congress, a member of the cabinet, to not have served in some form of public responsibility before. Every single other president has. From George Washington, our first, who was a general before he was president, all the way up to Barack Obama. They've all served in government. Every single one of them. Maybe that's why Donald Trump can just readily say things and then change his mind 2 weeks later and then change his mind 1 week later and frankly make your head spin. What are his views on abortion? Who knows? He keeps changing them. What are his views on the minimum wage? Who knows? He keeps changing them. Defaulting on the national debt. Who knows? He keeps changing them. What are his views on foreign policy? Changes those too. Who is this guy? I mean, we know he's a narcissist. We know he's a playboy. We know he has a very high opinion of himself. Could he suddenly change and become presidential? Well, maybe. Maybe Pee Wee Herman could. I don't know, but I wouldn't elect him president. You know, it's amazing to me where this hatred comes from. And the only place that I can logically say, okay, I understand why this guy is for Donald Trump, is if you're a racist, if you're a misogynist, if you don't like women, you don't like immigrants, you don't like Muslims, you don't like blacks, you don't like Latinos, then I get it. I understand why if you are a southern, old, white, working class man who's a Christian and straight, but not too much of a Christian, why you might like Donald Trump. I get why the good old boys like Donald Trump. I understand why members of the KKK like Donald Trump. I understand that. I don't even dispute it with you. You got your guy there. Although he may disappoint you folks as well, because I don't think he really believes in anything he says. But who else would support him? And where is this hatred of Hillary Clinton come from? Is it because you don't like the Clinton years? Look at what happened in West Virginia yesterday. A state that went for Hillary Clinton strongly against Barack Obama. I think because Barack Obama's black. But now went for Bernie Sanders against Hillary Clinton. I think because Hillary Clinton is seen as someone who has the support of blacks. But apart from racism, what reason is there to vote for Donald Trump? Did you know that a third of the Sanders supporters in West Virginia said they would vote for Trump over Sanders in a general election? Try to mull that over, and I'll explain that when we come back. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The choice is upon us in November. It will be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And that's notwithstanding what happened in West Virginia last night. Congratulations to Bernie Sanders. But I found something really fascinating about the people who voted for Bernie Sanders. Now, West Virginia has an open primary. It doesn't just require Democrats. Anyone can vote in that primary. And, of course, the Republican race has already been settled. Donald Trump has already won that. So the question is, if you're a Republican and you want to cause trouble for Hillary Clinton, what do you do? Well, you can vote in the Sanders-Clinton race. Fascinating exit poll showed on CNN last night. One-third of Sanders supporters in a race between Sanders and Trump, not in a race between Clinton and Trump, in a race between Sanders and Trump, one-third of Sanders supporters in the primary would vote for Trump. What? Yeah. They don't even like Bernie Sanders. They like Donald Trump. They entered the race just to mess it up. So take that one-third out of Bernie Sanders' numbers. He got 51% or so. And now he gets 34%. Hillary Clinton gets 36%, and she wins the primary. Now, I don't doubt the real Feel the Bernsters. I respect you folks. I am, however, condemning the people who, Republicans, are trying to muck up the Democratic primary. In any case, the win for Bernie Sanders gave him 7 delegates, net delegates, not near enough to change the trajectory. It's going to be Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I ask you, if it's not sexism, then what is it that has people saying, well, you know, I can't trust Hillary Clinton, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump? For anything that Hillary Clinton has done wrong, and I fully concede she's not perfect, no one is, Donald Trump has done infinitely worse. From lies to marital infidelity, to just gross behavior. Actually, I can't think of anything gross behavior that Hillary Clinton has done. To character issues. To policies. Just name one. Name any issue you don't like about Hillary Clinton. And Donald Trump has done worse. Even if you're a conservative, at least Hillary Clinton's values are clear and consistent. Bret Stephens, a prominent conservative pundit whom I've actually debated on Fox News and CNBC, came out with a Wall Street Journal article today. He said that he would support Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. And he's a conservative. And his reason is this. He said, we can deal with liberal presidents. We have in the past. The conservative movement will survive. But Donald Trump will single-handedly destroy the conservative movement if he were to win. I think he has a point. Who are conservatives today? What is the party of no? Is that all the Republican Party is, the party of no? Well, I guess that's what leads to Donald Trump. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK. Right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. General election is upon us. And it is difficult to understand why anyone in their right mind would support Donald Trump. So I've been thinking about different ways to approach this issue. And one way is to approach how any human being deals with hard times. Right? Let's say you lost your job. Let's say you lost your job because the company went overseas. That's tough. That's hard on anyone. Let's say someone you love just died. How do you deal with pain, agony, unfairness that is inherent in life? Well, one way is to sit there and feel sorry for yourself. To put the covers over your head and cry. And cry. maybe think suicidal thoughts, maybe sit there and watch TV all day, or, you know, allow your house to become a mess and clothes get on the floor and, you know, never take a shower and just kind of wallow in it. Woe is me. Life is tough. Life is awful. Another way is anger. Them SOBs. How dare they do this to me? These are awful people. And even if you're not going to get a gun and shoot them all, which some people do, you're still angry. You say vicious things about them. You're going to yell and scream and make an ass of yourself. You're against everybody. You're against the whole world. The whole world is a terrible, awful place. Like I said, that's often the when someone like that goes and buys an easily available AK-47 and shoots up a school. But even if they don't do that, we all know angry young men, angry old men, and a few angry young women and angry old women, though I think women, frankly, deal with tragedy better than men. The third way, obviously the way I approve of, is to get up and change the world. To do something about it. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't spend all your time hating. But say, yeah, the world is unfair. The world is unjust. The world is imperfect. I'm going to change it, damn it. I'm going to work to elect someone who will change it. I'm going to run for office myself. I'm going to put together a citizens group to deal with the issue. I'm going to become a journalist and expose the issue. I've had my own share of injustice. That's how I've dealt with it. Citizens protests. Being a journalist, having a radio show, being a TV pundit, writing my elected members of Congress and the state legislature, and then running for office myself. I think that's the healthy way to deal with a problem. I think the unhealthy way is to turn to demagoguery. And to me, that's the essence of what Donald Trump is all about. This unfocused anger, where people pull at lies like so many threads to a garment that's unraveling that they hope to grab. A rope. They're grabbing a rope to pull themselves out of the pit. And as the rope unravels, they just keep tearing at it rather than taking the time to build steps and slowly get out of that hole. It's easier to be angry. It's easier to be a conspiracy theorist. It's easy to think the entire world is against you. They're all lined up just to get you. Rather than face the truth that the world is, in many ways, a cold, unfeeling place that harms lots of people, not just you. But in this world, there are also warm people, caring people, empathetic people who will join with you in your goals to make the world a better place. But they probably won't join with you if you're sitting home feeling sorry for yourself all the time. And they probably won't join with you if you're angry all the time. Channel the anger. Channel the depression. I think, to a large extent, Bernie Sanders supporters are angry. But to the extent they're channeling that anger to support public policies that help everyone, that's a good thing. Many Hillary Clinton supporters are angry. I'm angry. I'm angry at the Republicans, the party of no, the people that are out there trying to shut down the government rather than make the government better. I'm channeling that anger into my support for Hillary Clinton. But what are Donald Trump's voters doing? Okay, they're angry. Okay, they're mad that jobs were outsourced. So they're going to vote for a man who outsourced those jobs. Yes, Donald Trump made his stuff in China, all over the globe. He saved monies. He walked on the backs, personally, of the very people that are hailing him as a savior. Sanders and Clinton didn't do that. He's the man. He's the man. He's the man oppressing you, and you're going to vote for the man. It's wild. It's like, I don't know. It's like people who were slaves supporting the head slave masters who said that he would call it all off. I don't know. It's hard to find the right historical analogy. But there's this unfocused anger. We've talked about it at length. Right? The poor white man who's having troubles. He's uneducated. He hasn't succeeded much in life. And instead of blaming the system or trying to get an education or trying to build himself up from his bootstraps, he's got to blame someone. Don't blame the guy at the top spitting on him. Blame the people at the bottom that he can still spit on. Go attack a black person, a Mexican, a transgendered person. Probably the most mistreated people in America are transgendered people. Think how hard that is. Think how hard it is, if you're a man and like being a man, to wake up one day in a woman's body. If you're a woman and you like being a woman, imagine waking up in a man's body. It doesn't feel like you, does it? And now with all the hardness of the world and the difficulty that you were born with, the disability that you were given, now you're not even allowed to go to the bathroom. I was very, very pleased, by the way. Really, I was thrilled, but it was more of a quietness thrilling. Words escape me. I was so moved by what Loretta Lynch, our Attorney General, did in putting North Carolina to the test and saying that America would stand up for perhaps the most downtrodden minority in America, the transgender community. And she did so with grace. She did so with fortitude. She did so attacking an entire state and asking that state, which is more important to you, billions of dollars in education or torturing your transgendered citizens? Don't give me this bathroom was an issue. There weren't transgendered people going and abusing people in bathrooms. And by the way, if you abuse someone in the bathroom, that's still against the law. Don't do that. It was just ignorance and hate. And it was such a thrill to see the President of the United States send his Attorney General out to make a very strong stand against any kind of nasty intolerance. When I think of Donald Trump, I think of exactly the opposite. I think of someone who makes fun of people who are in trouble. You know, one of the things that good comics do, reputable comics, those that I have respect for, Jon Stewart used to do this. He used to say, punch up, never punch down. You want to attack powerful people like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. You want to attack people who've got it all. You want to attack Rupert Murdoch or Madonna, go for it. They can handle themselves. You want to attack Rush Limbaugh? Be my guest. Heck, you want to attack Al Franken? Be my guest. But don't punch down. Don't make fun of a homeless person. Don't make fun of someone with one leg. Don't make fun of someone who's transgender. Don't make fun of an immigrant who escaped persecution and is trying to provide for his or her family. Don't attack a Muslim American just for being Muslim and a minority. Don't attack a woman for being ugly or for being hot. Heck, don't attack a man for being ugly. Just don't punch down. Right? I mean, look at what Donald Trump is. He is the classic punch downer. Right? I mean, I don't know, little Marco or Megyn Kelly had blood coming out of her, whatever, or I don't know, Ted Cruz's father was somehow a Cuban anti-Kennedy. Who knows what? He doesn't attack them for their policies. There's plenty to attack Ted Cruz on. Plenty on his policies. Plenty. But he's attacking his father, an immigrant, claiming he was involved in the Kennedy assassination? Are you kidding me? There's plenty to attack Hillary Clinton on. You want to disagree with her policies? Go for it. but attacking her because her husband had marital indiscretions? When Donald Trump was a consummate playboy, sleeping with a different playboy model each night and bragging about it while he was married 3 times? Punch up. Don't punch down. Let's have a country where we respect and treat well those of us who are struggling, the way Loretta Lynch did for the transgender community. And if we want to make fun, let's make fun of those with more power than we have. I have no problem attacking the 1%. I do have trouble attacking the homeless. Let's punch up, not punch down. Let's help build everyone below us to get to a better place. Let's lift people up. To me, Donald Trump brings this frat boy mentality that frankly embarrassed me when I was in my 20s and makes it the overriding policy of the United States. Let's not let that happen. Give me a call, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. Here's your last chance to call in if you want to at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I must say, while I am embarrassed about Donald Trump, it's nice to know that many Republicans are embarrassed about him as well. It makes me feel good about my fellow Americans. But what really makes me feel good, frankly, is what the Obama administration is still doing. And the beautiful speech that Attorney General Loretta Lynch gave as she described why we have to care about all Americans, treat all Americans equally under the law. And yes, that also, of course, includes transgendered Americans. Let's play a little bit of that.
About a great deal more than bathrooms. This is about the dignity and the respect that we accord our fellow citizens and the laws that we as a people and as a country have enacted to protect them, indeed to protect all of us. And it's about the founding ideals that have led this country, haltingly but inexorably, in the direction of fairness, inclusion, and equality for all Americans. This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws that followed the Emancipation Proclamation. We saw it in the fierce and widespread resistance to Brown v. Board of Education. And we saw it in the proliferation of state bans on same-sex unions that were intended to stifle any hope that gay and lesbian Americans might one day be afforded the right to marry. And that right, of course, is now recognized as a guarantee embedded in our Constitution. And in the wake of that historic triumph, we have seen bill after bill and state after state taking aim at the LGBT community. Now, some of these responses reflect a recognizably human fear of the unknown and a discomfort with the uncertainty of change. But this is not a time to act out of fear. This is a time to summon our national virtues of inclusivity, of diversity, of compassion and open-mindedness. And what we must not do, what we must never do, is turn on our neighbors, our family members, our fellow Americans for something that they cannot control and deny what makes them human. And this is why none of us can stand by when a state enters the business of legislating identity and insists that a person pretend to be something or someone that they are not, or invents a problem that does not exist as a pretext for discrimination and harassment.
Let me talk about that for a little bit. A problem that does not exist. It's a solution in search of a problem. When have you ever heard anyone have a problem with someone going to the bathroom? If you walk into a public bathroom, what are you doing there? Usually you do your business, you wash your hands, and you leave. And the only time other people should matter to you is if there's a line, and then you should wait in line. That's what public restrooms are for. They're for all people. You shouldn't be staring at people's private parts when you're in a bathroom. I hate to be crass about it. But indeed, that's what North Carolina is asking you to do. They're asking you to inspect your fellow human beings' private parts. And I would say that's beyond the realm of dignity. But then, of course, Donald Trump and Marco Rubio brought it up in the most recent presidential election. It still is. People's private parts are private. I mean, if you want to expose yourself, that even that is not near as offensive as staring at somebody else. It's not appropriate. This is what North Carolina is asking us to do. We had a bill in Virginia that thankfully we defeated that would have done this for school children. It would have told a seven-year-old, the teacher has to inspect your private parts before you go into the boys' or the girls' bathroom. Or I guess you have to have a birth certificate. By the way, does that mean we have to all carry our birth certificates everywhere and show them every time we have to go to the bathroom or we won't be allowed in the public restroom? Might lead to some public urination outside. This is ridiculous. This is embarrassing. And that North Carolina is risking $2 billion in federal money over this? And think what this is really about. God knows this isn't about grown men in women's restrooms the way they say it is. First of all, the transgendered people who were born male and are now female look, for the most part, more like women than men. And the women look more like men than women. Imagine a large, muscled, bearded man wanting to go into the women's restroom. That might cause you a problem, except that that might well be where he is required to go because he was born female, you see. What it really is simply people not understanding. Oh, I'm not transgendered, so it's weird to me, and I won't take the time to understand my fellow American who's different from me. I just will hate them and want to discriminate against them. The same may be true for my fellow American who's of a different religion, or someone who's a different nationality. If America is the greatest nation on earth, and I think we are, I think it's because we are a nation that accepts anyone and everyone and recognizes their gifts. We heartily praise Martin Luther King's famous words that we should be judged by the content of our character rather than by the color of our skin. And I would add also rather than by our nationality, our religion, our gender, or our private parts. Let's be judged by what we give. As John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Let's judge by what we give. Let's judge by how generous we are, how empathetic we are, how much we care about our fellow human being. Let's rise and pray to the heights, those that give of their time to serve others, those that help lift up rather than punch down. Let's praise those that help rather than give the bullies more power. In essence, that's all that Donald Trump is. He's a bully. He's a rich, privileged bully. Frankly, I would use other language, but I can't use it on the radio. Is this who we want to be president of the United States? If you have any comments on today's show, go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. I will talk to you next Monday.